sorry to say, no amount of your knowledge will help you to overcome. This is what the sutra is very explicit about. Book 4.4. The I am consciousness, that means awareness, this is the place on the ladder of inner evolution. And besides the thinking instrument and the psychic nature, every organ, nerve, muscle and center will also have the same structure and combination of qualities, which in turn will force an individual to act accordingly. How does the sutra read? The I am consciousness is responsible for the creation of organs through which the sense of individuality is enjoyed. As you are born with certain physical disabilities or a perfect physical form but certain mental deficiencies, or a perfectly functioning brain but with an immoral structure, or finally no spine, no backbone, that means mental and physical inertia. I want to do it, I'll start tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Tomorrow and 4 o'clock never comes. You see, these are our inabilities, these are our weaknesses. And if you think that you have strong willpower, you can try. The strongest willpower cracks like a biscuit, like a cream cracker biscuit, the easiest biscuit to crack. So the sutras are clear in telling you that your knowledge won't help you, your willpower won't help you. There is a special direction in which you have to go, and you have to do certain specific practices. Because the greatest blessing you have been given, that you have been born as a human being, and as a human being you have been given the right to be a God in existence. That is what you have been given. Now what is preventing us is ignorance of that fact and ignorance of the steps to be taken. Yoga Sutra specifically shows this. Get my point? Why we are so much attached to Yoga Sutra? Because nowhere such step-by-step laid down procedures we find in the right direction. Consciousness is one, yet produces the varied forms of the many. What does it say? Consciousness is one, yet it produces the various forms of the many. What is it? All in existence work through awareness, life and memory. Awareness includes life and memory. Consciousness is divine fragment. It is one, but can assume millions of forms or coverings in existence in Bhu, Bhuva, Swaha. Book 4, 9. This sutra is not properly understood, nothing will be clear in future. However much one may read or hear, here is shown the process of thought formation for human beings. Now what does the sutra read like? there is an identity of relation between memory and the effect-producing cause, even when separated by species, time and place. What does it say? There is an identity of relation between memory and the effect-producing cause, even when separated by species, time and place. Let us try to understand this very difficult sutra. Page 3, last para. Memory is held in the subconscious part of the rear brain. This memory is different from mechanical, chemical and or electromagnetic. It is even different from the memory of the human race as a whole. This memory forms sanskar and is able to fulfill destiny. Sanskar meaning structure of acceptance as we understand. 30,000 impulses as per science enter the human frame per second, and of these 120 per second reach the thinking instrument part of the brain via the subconscious brain. Here, identical memory pattern, past memory pattern soaked in past experience of the individual meet the selected incoming impulses. Such selected incoming impulses are referred in the sutra as effect producing cause. Our reaction and action due to this make us behave in a particular manner, and this in turn form our future sanskar. What this sutra emphatically states is that even if one runs away from normal life to the Himalayas or to an ashram, or even if one is born in a different galaxy, it matters not. And even after a long period of time, for anywhere in the entire universe, those impulses will reach, and identical memory patterns one will have to face, and the required results will follow. Ignorance of this fact is to be removed, and needful must be done regarding sanskar. This is the second main obstacle and or hindrance for the individual or for the race. The three universes form the land of Avidya. Then we go to Book 410 Sutra. What does it say? Desire to leave being eternal. These mind-created forms are without known beginning. Yeah. Our journey starting with Swaha, Bhuva, Bhu in involution, and our going back home or evolution or eternities. And so each form is mind-created due to sanskar held in the subconscious and are without known beginning. We do not know what other religions or faiths have to say. The creation of the world and creation of the human being according to different faiths and different religions have been stated in different manner. But in the Shastras, they are stated in very detailed form. There is not one universe, namely the physical, but there are the other universes known as the astral and the mental. And we begin our downward journey in the land of ignorance. First is Swaha, come down to Bhuva, come to Bhu, and after experiencing all the ignorance, gathering all the lower qualities and more effective negative emotions, slowly we are on the upward journey of evolution, going back home from Bhu to Bhuva, to Swaha, back to celestial home. During this, eternities upon eternities long journey, how many times you have taken form, we have no count. How many times more we shall take birth and form, we have no count. The only hope is, if possible, to bring an end to this eternal cycle. When we live this present life, due to various circumstances, due to various environments, we act, we wish, we are hurt, we are joyful. All this happens to us. And we create the possibility of another life with a suitable form to face in that life what we have created and added in this life. That is the basic philosophy of the Shastras. But it says that you need not go through this slavery endlessly. That there is a method, that there is a choice with you, there is a method. If followed, you can slow down, you can cut short through a few more incarnations to enter your celestial home again. This is a hope. This is a hopeful message. Because it is here only that we are not left to the choice of God's will. If there is a choice of God's will, then we don't know when. If the choice is with you, and if you are able to take those steps, and if you are able to force the energy into your life to take those steps, the hope is that you can enter through the door your celestial home. Earlier in 9 and 10 I said much, how to break this eternal chain is what is indicated here. Create and hold together, 9 and 10 show that these create and hold together and repeat mainly because all life is outgoing, including brain and senses, because external objects keep attracting. This chain can break or is destroyed only if one can develop the technique of inward perception, not visualization. Because of 9 and 10, we have our past and our present, and accordingly we'll have our future, and this is no illusion. But as stated in 9, 10 and 11, the past has given our present form and capacity, and our conscious effort will create our future form and capacity. Sanskar held in the unconscious part of the real brain and are, as stated, developed characteristics that are like latent seeds to sprout and grow in the future. This chain is to be destroyed consciously by unceasing efforts. All these, in other words, abound to blocks in our body-brain system and body-manas system. These forms, 4.11, the sutra reads, these forms being created and held together through desire the basic cause, personality the effective result, mental vitality or the will to live, and the support of the outward going life or object. When these cease to attract, then the form cease likewise to be. Book 4.12 reads, the past and future exist in reality. The form assumed in time concept of the present is the result of developed characteristics and holds latent seeds of future qualities. And the last road sign, 27. This is the warning as the last sutra among the pointer road sign sutras. As unconsciously changes and works hard to remove the blocks, it can happen that once again the brain and senses may like to wander uncontrolled and go outward. If one were to follow these road signs correctly, one may come to the closed doors. What does the sutra read? Through force of habit, however, the mind will reflect other mental impressions and perceive objects of sensuous perception. So, if one has understood the key, one can then apply the key. If all circumstances are proper and one is accepted, the key will turn and doors will open. Why? Because only a mental grasp as key is not accepted. The key will not turn. You see, these road signs, I call them road signs because they tell you these are the difficulties, these are the obstacles, these are the hindrances, these are your weaknesses, the law states this, you have to live within this framework, and therefore it's no use running away anywhere to any ashram or Himalaya, because even if you go to another galaxy, the incoming impulses and your memory patterns will give you the same result. Therefore, understand what your memory patterns want to do, understand what the incoming impulses want to do, and according to certain practices, come to a state whereby you have a clear perception of the next step you have to take and not suffer the unnecessary pain and repetition of life. This is the second part of Yoga Sutra, the road signs. We shall go into detail, but unless you know the road signs, we will not know where to see those closed doors that keep us out of our own celestial home. You get that point? That means the sutras clearly say there is no hell, there is no heaven, there has been your celestial home, you are in exile, you want to go back, you are roaming in the forest, you want to go back, and whilst going back there are certain things you have to do, there are certain illusions you have to understand, you have to take certain steps, certain practices, reach the door, open the door, walk into your celestial home, which is your heritage. No gift, it is your own earned state. Because you were and are divine fragments. And that by now you have forgotten, after many eternities, that though you are divine fragments, you are roaming like mere human beings, weak, lonely, alone, without guidance, which is not a fact. You are not weak. You are divine fragments. There is a way to go about. You have to do certain things. Go home. Get your heritage. You get the second part of the yoga sutra. That you are in the forest. All the pastors you have seen in Ramayana and Mahabharata, they talk about many years of forest life, where you are roaming in the forest. You have left your kingdom. Ultimately you return back to your kingdom. There is only one thread similar everywhere. It might mean 14 years of Rama or 14 years of the Pandavas. It is immaterial. It means every human being is in exile, is in the forest, is roaming, has left his kingdom and is going back to his kingdom. That is in short the Ramayana, that is in short the Mahabharata, that is in short Yoga Sutra. But Gita, Ramayana and Mahabharata remain philosophies. And Yoga Sutra gives practical steps to tell you that not only it's your right to enter your kingdom, this is the way to enter. The practical help that we can receive from Yoga Sutra compared to Ramayana and Mahabharata, which may be huge volumes, these are only 195 sutras that you can collect in about 6 or 7 foolscaps. But they give you absolute practical, approachable steps, if taken, your choice. It is not God's choice, it is your choice. It is not my choice, it is your choice. Because after yearning for this, after hearing from me, after being told repeatedly to practice, you might still do nothing. And your choice is final. If you don't want to do anything, God even can't make you do anything. That is yours. And in most cases, normally, 99.99, we always enforce our choice. I don't want to do it. See? Like that boy was asked at school to repeat the commandments. The teacher asked him, how many commandments there are, Johnny? He said, sir, 11. So he repeated the 10 and waited. Yes, Johnny, what is the 11? Thou shalt not obey these commandments. That is your choice. Thou shalt not obey these commandments, you see. And ultimately it is this commandment that you will prefer to the remaining 10 commandments. You see. This is called mental inertia. As one of the obstacles stated. Mental inertia. It's not that you won't know it. It's not that you can't do it, but you won't do it. This is mental inertia. The ability to do and yet not do is called mental inertia. It is not the inability to do. It is the ability to do and yet not to do is mental inertia. When the alarm goes and you turn, at 4 o'clock, your decision to get up in the night, at 4 o'clock, and you turn, till 7 o'clock. And then you get, oh God, tomorrow definitely I'll get up. Tomorrow 4 o'clock, the hand goes back on the alarm. This is mental inertia, can't help it. You see, inertia is a force not easy to overcome. It's not a small force that you have generated and accumulated over the eternities. This force is today that cannot be counted in tons. And your little frame is trying to push that. It is obvious we can't do it. Yet we can do it. And the first and the foremost step to break mental inertia, because if this is not broken, nothing can be done. The force of mental inertia is not broken, nothing can be done. Even if you know, as I told you, there's only one thing that has the power to break this mental inertia, and that is three-step rhythmic breathing. When you proceed with your three-step rhythmic breathing, you create a counterforce to inertia. You don't have to roll up the whole force of inertia. You break through it at a point and pierce through. So first step, therefore, we have been always stressing about is the three-step rhythmic breathing. To overcome mental inertia. If you don't do that, all the wisdom of the world is useless. All your mighty willpower is useless. The one and the only first step is to roll back inertia, to to pierce through inertia. And that is mental inertia, not physical inertia. And then you will do that. You will go slowly. It might take 6 months, it might take 12 months, it might take 2 years. I took 3 years to come to 24 hours of three-step rhythmic breathing. I took 3 years at a very, very impressionable age of 7 to 10. You people have grown up. You have accumulated a lot of things which you have to unlearn, which is the second biggest obstacle after inertia. To learn is easy, to unlearn is the most difficult thing. Because by learning you have come to certain convictions, now you have to tear down those convictions. And your inner state will be exactly what is happening in Russia today. The huge communist build-up, your mental inertia, has to be broken down totally. And it is not easy. The communist power is not easy, and yet today it stands broken. To give you a picture, that as mighty a force, your mental inertia can be broken in the same way. And the step towards it is rhythmic breathing. Because rhythmic breathing will not allow mental or physical inertia to cross your path. If that happens, then only you can take further constructive steps, without which you can't. So, we shall see, as we have enumerated in the small book, three-step rhythmic breathing, refining exercises. Refining exercises mean the blocks that are in our body. In our first talk in June, we said, what does a farmer do? He removes the stone block so that the water flows. He doesn't take the water by hand. All he does is remove the block. So by three-step rhythmic breathing, we are removing the block, and then your whole spiritual nature will flow. Today what you are doing, you are not removing the block. You are fighting with inertia. And that is giving you no result. No amount of fighting with inertia can help you. Remove the block and let your own spiritual nature with which you are born, let it flow. You are not a sinner. You are not miserable. You are not tiny little human being. Your spiritual nature is there, it's great. You have been born with it, you have been structured for it. All you have to do is to remove the block. One of the blocks is to remove wrong breathing, which leads to wrong thinking, which leads to wrong action. So, like that, we'll remove certain blocks by doing certain specific things over a specific period. You see? But all you are doing today, all of you, is fighting mental and physical inertia. It is not possible. Not even the strength of Samson or Hercules can do that. No. That is a wrong approach. You are being given here by all these road signs to know your difficulties, your hindrances, your obstacles, which you have to remove so that your natural nature can flow. And then you will be told what should be the steps to be taken. Then you will find that I have to do nothing special, that I have been unnecessarily forcing myself in wrong direction, that I have been reading and doing unnecessary things. You get my point? So, the concept of the key we have had in June and July, the road signs we have touched today, not discussed, we have touched. We will go deeper into that. Then we will come to the closed door. If you have questions, please ask.
There
Very good question. Are the doors closed or closed door itself is an illusion? Very good question. Closed doors is an appropriate way of saying that you will not actually come across closed doors, but that it means you are in the land of ignorance. That means proper wisdom has not dawned. Because proper wisdom has not dawned, you have not taken proper steps so far. When proper steps will be taken, all the ignorance, all the inability, all the weakness that you find today will slowly fade away. And that will be enough proof to realize that the doors are open and you are entering into a new kingdom. You understand, my friend? Closed doors are metaphorically spoken, not actually to come across. Aji, very good question. Anyone else? Yes, so today we are nearly 60. Again this Saturday we might be 30. But never mind, please do come on this following Saturday. We may go to phase 4. Okay? We may go to phase 4. I said we may go to phase 4. Do come on Saturday. No other question? You seem to be enlightened, all of you. Why am I wasting my breath? I am glad you are all enlightened. If you have no confusion, you are enlightened. If you have no confusion, there won't be questions. Very good. It's a good sign by itself. You said something? Next meeting. Yes, let us fix the next meeting in September. It is the last Thursday. 26th. Okay? By all of you? So we'll meet for meeting on 26th. And for our exercises on 28th. Okay? And we meet day after tomorrow. We will start the fourth phase. God willing. Are you willing? And the timing is? 4 o'clock, not 4:30. 4 to 5:30. Okay? Thank you all. Thank you all.
I don't know. Thank you.